is always good.
Yes.
I do not know. I know he's been pretty busy. I'm not sure if he's coming.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, by the time I hit the Nats, it was like 38. But
yeah, it was around 38, 39 when I was driving around this evening.
Does anyone?
So, Dave, I just want to go on.
Today's meeting was very productive.
Good.
You able to like your spreadsheet and one guy back?
Sure. Like when somebody's going to use this in the data?
That's it right there. I just did a little bit here. I really don't think we'll talk about
some more,
but I just wanted to have a couple of points.
See, I know very well. Yeah, that's the spreadsheet they were talking about.
Okay.
That's all good numbers.
Okay, good.
And everyone said,
I think we all have one for
that. Something based on data. I was looking at the mill rate portion.
So I was at a meeting this afternoon where we're talking about some of that stuff. And the numbers
that
you report on the meeting now?
Resolution?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything press about that meeting. The numbers that we're getting kicked around was slightly imprecise figures. The total village would represent
about
a million people.
Andy,
do you
all have one of these?
250,000 goes back to the airport. Actually, you know what, that's if all of these were removed entirely. If you remove the village, then the amount that comes back to the airport, the amount that comes back to the airport, the 25%, is actually a lot smaller. A fair bit smaller. So, I can't speak to the precise numbers. I'll take another one, Sandy. Sure.
Yes, please. Let's get everything on the board and everyone with the same information.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely the spirit of what we're talking about. I think it's important to make sure we have to enter on that.
No.
Sure.
There you go.
Just have fresh ones. Here he is.
Ready to go? Yep. Okay. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6 o'clock. Roll call, please.
Chairman Rosenblum.
Here.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams.
Here.
Secretary Scheifel.
Here.
Director Woods.
Here.
Director McKim.
Here.
Public input. I'd like to try to make this meeting in general as short as possible due to the weather that's coming in. And so if anyone can make their comments as brief as possible, that would be appreciated. We have officer elections, and Vice Chair will present the slate.
At this time, I'd like to make a motion to keep our positions as they are with Chairman Rosenblum, myself as Vice Chair, Chairman Rosenblum also as Treasurer, Bob Scheifel as Secretary, and then Farrell and Joe as Directors, and, I'll wait for you to second it.
I'll second that motion. Discussion?
I think at this time we're a good board. I think it's healthy. Mike has asked Farrell to work on the master plan, which is a huge undertaking and very time consuming. Joe's working on strategic planning, and Secretary Scheifel is doing a phenomenal job as Secretary. So that's the reasoning behind that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Secretary.
We have two sets of minutes to consider. One set is for December the 8th, which was the special walk-around meeting to discuss the construction project on the runway. And the other one is the normal board meeting for December the 13th. They both were properly posted. There have been no changes made, no suggestions, etc. So I move to approve the minutes of December the 8th and December the 13th.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Treasurer's report. You have in the packet the December 31st financial statements. On page 22. Shows the actual to budget, and for the month we're about $6,000 better than have budgeted, primarily from snow removal income. We have had additional wages to which offset some of that revenue, but the total expenses on page 23 is the net is about $600 different than budget. So we have a $9,000 surplus for the month. Year to date, we have $41,000, $208 surplus before any CIP expenses. After the CIP expenses, we would be in a shortfall of about $16,000. Any questions? I make a motion to accept the Treasurer's Report pending audit. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Communications, there are none.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you. I know your agenda's been prepared, but I did bring a copy of the resolution that passed from the Board of Aldermen last week. I wonder if a motion could be made to accept that and place that on file as part of the communications.
Certainly, a very good point.
Okay.
I'll make that motion to accept the resolution that was passed by the Board of Aldermen. Placed on file.
I'll second that.
Discussion? I want to thank both Wes and Farrell who appeared at the board meeting in favor of this resolution. And Alderman Shoneman had discussed and presented to the board the reasoning behind the resolution. So I want to thank you for your efforts. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Michael, if I may, for the public, for those who haven't heard already, another thing that came before the aldermen that evening was a 99-year lease extension. This is the master lease extension between the City of Nashua and the Nashua Airport Authority. So, that motion carried unanimously, so the master lease is good until December of 2115, I believe.
December 31st, 2115.
Yeah. Yep. So that was another reason why a few of us were there at the meeting last week.
I just one point of trivia: the payment for that lease is $1 for the term, not even $1 per year. So the $1 was paid back in 1975, and we're all good.
Just so you guys know, you're not getting a bargain like that. So.
No refunds accepted.
Tower report. That was in the packet. And it seems that for the year, we wound up with $58,726 as a traffic count, which is $5,500 higher, higher than 2015. So we have seen an increase. We've seen increases in almost every month except for two. There've been increases in activity.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd just like to point out that there is a discrepancy of a small amount. Then the airport manager is working with the FAA to, so with the tower people to correct it. If you look on page 24, you'll see that the general aviation is 27,846, but on 26, according to the traffic report, it's 27,815. So there's a little dispute there, and we'll work it out.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
I just want to point out that, again, I think for the third year in a row, we're the busiest airport in the state, busier than even our commercial service airport up in Manchester. So something everybody should be proud of, I think.
Airport manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wildlife activity in the airport has been light, with no reported strikes. We're still waiting for the contractor to remove the trees on Sharon Ave, which will allow the VOR 3-2 approach to be utilized at night, although I'm finding out that our VORs in the area may all be going away in the very near future if the FAA has their way, which would make the issue moot, I guess. But there will be more information on that as time goes on. There's usually a comment period for the removal of nav aids, and I'll be reaching out to all of the airport community members to provide comments to FAA if we find out that that's what their plan is. Board of Aldermen approved the zoning change on an abutting property from airport industrial to highway business. Probably little effect on the property itself. There's a structure there already, unless that building were to be torn down, another one built, in which case I think the airport would be included in the would be noticed and would be included in the process. Probably little change there, actually. We're still working with the Daniel Webster Council of the Boy Scouts to hold a camporee the weekend of May 5 through 7. We have a safety plan that we're finalizing, and they plan on attending the February Airport Authority meeting to answer any questions the board might have. We've submitted the Daniel Webster College leases to the bankruptcy trustee per their request. On February 1st, the airport will participate in an emergency exercise, which was awarded to the City of Nashua Office of Emergency Management through the Transportation Research Board. And the exercise will simulate going through the process of dealing with a severe November storm. This is being put together by Justin Cates at the Office of Emergency Management for the city. And for those of you who don't know Justin, he's really on top of things. He's really a great emergency manager, and in fact, I think he won an award recently for his efforts. So more info on that as it develops.
Excuse me, but we're going to meet after that. So what's the impact on the airport?
There shouldn't be any impact on the airport. It's going to be simulating a weather event.
Oh, it's in a classroom?
Yeah, okay. The Chamber of the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce is going to host one of their business after hours here on the airport on March 8th from 5:30 to 7:30. You can register through the chamber website. Chairman Rosenblum and I presented our pavement rehabilitation and the groove seal and remark the runway projects to the Capital Improvements Committee on January 9th, and Secretary Scheifel was there as well. The chairman of the Capital Improvements Committee was encouraged by the projects and the activity at the airport. The FAA has reimbursed the Airport Authority $4,875 towards the FY16 financial audit, so thank you to Gail for helping with that. And thank you to everyone who contributed to the city's to the Airport Authority's charity drive for the Nashua Children's Home. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
The reimbursement for the financial audit was from the FAA or
correct.
The Department of Transportation?
No, it's from FAA.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Airport engineer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to jump in front of Eric. For the record, Matt Karen with Gale Associates, tasked with assisting the airport and updating its master plan. I will be quick, as everyone wants to get out here pretty soon. So today, we've been working on chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 1 is the introduction. Chapter 2 is the existing facilities chapter. Been coordinating with Steve, who's been gracious to provide a lot of the documentation for that, a lot of operations data. I would say at this point, we're probably 85% complete with chapters 1 and 2 collectively. Last month, we spoke about the master plan committee, and it sounds like someone's going to be assisting in that or taking the role of running the master plan committee. Is that what I heard earlier?
Yes. Okay. Director Woods will be taking.
So I'll make sure I give Director Woods a card this evening, and we'll be in communications, and I'll be coordinating with Steve as well to bring him in and talk about some of the data that he's been providing, and we'll go from there. Any questions with that information
to
date?
Sounds good.
The other two projects on the agenda, project number two, reconstruct, pavement reconstruction and maintenance. As we all know, last month we voted on a change to the project. In coordination with New Hampshire DOT, they've requested a request for project change, which we have drafted, and we'll be sending to the airport and the authority tomorrow for review. Once we get concurrence from them, we can go ahead and proceed with the changes. It's anticipated that New Hampshire DOT will accept the changes, obviously. They just need justification for why the project is changing. So we've drafted that, and we will be submitting that on behalf of the airport and the board shortly. We also issued notice of awards and construction contracts to the contractor, and as soon as we receive them back, we'll forward them to the airport for signature and execution. And then we can start gearing up for construction early spring, late April, early May, depending on how much snow we get. Any questions on that project?
Question. The documents you're going to present tomorrow to the airport, do they require board approval?
No, because you've already approved it. Okay. It's just a written justification for you guys' approval, you guys' request for a change, for concurrence from New Hampshire DOT.
So you just need it signed by probably?
I don't even need it signed. We're going to submit it on your behalf. Just okay. Letting you know that it's happening. Okay. So at your request.
Okay.
Any questions on that project? Project 3, groove and seal. We finalized the scope after last meeting. We submitted the scope and the zeroed out IFE spreadsheet to Jerry Dexter on behalf of the airport. And it's my understanding that Mr. Dexter has prepared the IFE and submitted it back. It's within the allotted 10% of our proposed fee for it, and we're looking to enter into contract with you guys to go ahead and do the work. With that, we would need a motion to go ahead and enter into contract with you guys for the said work for the groove and seal project. I think we got it last month, but we will need a vote to enter into a contract for $230,300, which is within, I think, Jerry's, what was Jerry's IFE?
236.
236, so this was higher than ours. Any questions on that?
I'll make a motion to accept.
what was that motion? Tell
me my motion again, Eric.
We would need a motion from the airport authority to enter into contract for an amount of $230,300, whatever the set amount is of our proposed fee.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. A couple other pieces of information real quick. We have drafted a conceptual phasing for this plan. We've kind of all talked about it. We'd like to schedule a meeting with you guys in the next week or so to sit down and actually go through the phasing. We can handle that any way you guys would like. We could do two members at a time, disseminate it to Steve, and let you guys digest it, however you guys want to handle it. But we do need to sit down in the near future to talk about the phasing of this project, because we're running out of time to get this thing bid to the late start. How would you like us to proceed with the phasing and the concept of it?
Do you have any suggestions?
The meeting, you're just presenting information to
just
us?
Just presenting information. What I can do, what we've done traditionally in the past is Airport Manager Steve and one or two of the board members have sat down with us, gone through it, and then discussed it among yourselves. and we move forward with things.
Is this like a pre-construction meeting?
It's not really a pre-construction. It's more of a, the biggest hurdle on this project is the phasing for it and how we're going to attack the phasing. So we have some concepts that we've put together. We want to just get you guys' concurrence on which phasing alternative you want to do and proceed with putting together the 30% design plans.
Do you have a phasing package that we could review?
We could do that.
Yeah, if you want to do a phasing package, it's probably the best way to digest the information more efficiently.
Yeah. We will gladly do that. That makes the most sense.
Bob Burt from Master Jet Aviation, is that going to be available to users for their input as well?
I defer to the board on that.
We're not going to approve this before the next board meeting, are we? Would we approve this? We will not approve this before the next board meeting.
Right.
Right.
Well, we may need to schedule a special meeting because we are running out of time. You know, again, we got a late start with this based on the fact that this project almost didn't happen. So it may be advantageous to schedule a special meeting to approve it. So we can wait till the next meeting, but it's creating a major time crunch on this project.
I mean, do you have a package available? You can get out in the next week.
We should have it by the end of next week, absolutely.
Yeah, so then maybe we can
put that on the website.
Yeah.
For input.
There's no secret squirrel stuff in there. This is how we're going to do it. So
this is the plan of attack, or these are the options, and we'd gladly take input. And, you know, like we've traditionally done, we talk about runway closures, we take input, and, you know, everyone's got good ideas on how we can do it, and we want to just take it, digest it, and come up with the best plan for how we want to attack the project.
Right. With some of the goals being minimization of the noise for the residents in the area?
Key number one is minimizing both operational impacts to the airport, downtime of the runway and taxiways and infrastructure, as well as minimizing the noise mitigation to the surrounding communities, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we should get the information and get that put up on the website, and you know, then we can circle back and talk about a special meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like a plan. And then obviously, you know, how you guys want to proceed with that with notification to users and also the public. We're willing to assist you guys in any way, shape, form. We have in our scope a couple of meetings for both user groups and also getting out to the public and getting the news out about the project. And we're willing to assist you guys as you see fit. We have some recommendations as we move forward. We're glad to share those with you. So, any other questions on that project? That's all I have for tonight's meeting.
Good. Thank you. Next is committees. Strategic planning, Director Duquette.
Yep, so we had our January meeting very shortly after New Year's. I think it was on the 4th. And we had the Director of Economic Development from the City of Nashua join us. Great insight, great input from him. The city is very interested in having this airport thrive, big time. So we went through a lot of things that he didn't even realize, and I think was pretty much emblematic of what a lot of the public and the citizens of the city think or don't think about the airport, so it was good to understand that. So we were able to kind of flush out a lot of the areas we really need to concentrate on. One of the actual milestone things we've agreed upon is to come up with a good, concise, easy to understand but impactful mission statement. We feel it's time to probably revise the mission statement that's been out there for a while and really, really needle it down to something that means a lot and not so many words. So that was sort of our one physical takeaway from the meeting. Again, a lot of fire hose information here from a lot of different folks, and a lot of ideas we're kicking around. So we're making good progress. We're going to continue to meet on a monthly basis, and as new things become available to report to everybody, I'll certainly do that. So in the meantime, if anybody's got any other input or ideas or things they want to throw at me, feel free to email, call, whatever. Give me whatever, you know, things you like, things you don't like, things you'd like to see, whatever. Just information. Information's very good at this point. I'd like to hear as much from as many people as possible. As soon as it gets a little nicer weather, I'll try to start making my way out here, at least on the weekends, to try to get some FaceTime with folks. But information is good. So the more information that we can get, more input we can get, the better off we'll be and more successful I think we'll be in the short and long term. So, Mr. Chair, that's what I've got.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Another committee that was recently formed is the Master Plan Committee. Director Woods has graciously agreed to oversee that, and that is will be requiring some input from the public. You'll be forming a committee?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Thank you. Old business. Perimeter Place Investments. That was a request to extend the lease on a piece of property, and we're not at a point at this time to offer anything new to the board. We want to keep that under old business for future meeting. The reason we had this meeting moved up is because the house. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay. All right, directory sign.
We're finding that the collection of information to make a presentation on a respectively looking directory sign is becoming more and more complicated. We're not really getting a lot of cooperation from the companies that are making it, and the dollars are just out of the ballpark. We had a meeting, and we pretty much decided we're going to do it on our own with some help from the outside. And we got another bid today that didn't really answer all the mail. So the bottom line is I'll have something to show you when we have a little bit more time. We're talking about the spring, summer at the earliest. So that's basically all I have.
New business, the Capital Improvements Committee presentation. The airport manager mentioned it in his report. There was a very positive presentation to the city committee. We had requested monies for two different projects. One was for the airport grooving, the runway grooving. And the other one was to finish the phase one of the paving project. I forget the amounts we had asked for.
$75,000 for both. $70,000 and
$35,000 for each project.
Approximately, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And we will wait to hear and... I hope that will be included in the recommendations of the Capital Improvements Committee.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the request for the for the grooving, is that resealing and regrooving or just regrooving?
It's both.
Both. It's both.
Just for clarification, not regrooving. You're not grooved now, so it's just grooving and
reseal. Groove and reseal.
And remark.
Groove and seal.
It's not sealed either, so it's just groove, and seal, and mark, remark, and then remark after that.
Because we're marked already.
I stand corrected.
Sorry.
Hopefully it's still marked.
The primary reason for us meeting tonight as opposed to our regular scheduled meeting tomorrow night was because of House Bill 124, which is scheduled to be heard by the committee in Concord tomorrow afternoon. And I know that there are a number of folks and group committees that have tried to tackle the different parts of the information with regards to aircraft registration fees. So I will defer to Director Woods to update everyone and to ask if anyone else would like to chime in, please feel free. My goal is for that tonight, the board should reach some sort of decision whether to support, modify, or not support the bill so that we can bring that information to the legislature tomorrow.
Okay, so the brief background is that you know, as a lot of people know, the registration fee structure in the state of New Hampshire for aircraft, is far higher for airplanes 10 years and newer than those in our neighboring states. We take, for example, if someone wanted to bring the new business jet in here at a cost of, say, like $50 million, that in the first year alone, the registration fees for that aircraft are going to be in excess of $300,000, probably a little closer to four. The reason for that is because of the overall structure of fees. For an airplane that is under 10 years old, included in the registration fees for that aircraft is something called millage. And that is a number that's based on the Blue Book value of the airplane. So per $1,000 of Blue Book value, you have a multiplier, and that goes into the calculation of your registration fee in the first year. There's a well-known anecdote, I think, of Green Mountain Coffee, who wanted to relocate an airplane from Burlington, New Hampshire. They first investigated putting that airplane here at Nashua. They were talking to MacAir. A hangar was identified. They brought the airplane over. They determined it would fit fine in the hangar. But since this airport does not offer an anti-ice capability or on-call customs, they continued their search, and they ended up going to Portsmouth. Portsmouth had the facilities that they needed, including the room for the airplane. They signed a six-month contract with Port City Air to house the airplane. And they parked the airplane in the hangar. They started to move personnel, or plan to move personnel, into the greater Portsmouth area, because you just don't bring the airplane and park it. You have to have people to support it. And those are jobs, and those are people who would be paying into the local communities. And shortly after they parked the airplane over in Portsmouth, Green Mountain people were contacted by NHDOT, who told them that if their airplane remained in this state for more than 90 days, then they would be on the hook for a huge registration fee to keep the airplane here. As a result of that, the very next day, they flew the airplane away. This afternoon, I learned that the airplane may not have been flown down to Bedford, but it was definitely flown out of state to a place that has a more favorable fee structure. So if you look at the states around us, that airplane, if you go park it in Bedford, the registration and fee in Massachusetts is $300. So that's quite a stark difference. The history there is that in years past, New Hampshire looked like a better deal. Even though we had the millage, Massachusetts imposed a 5% sales tax. So if you calculate that number for a $45 or $50 million airplane, that's a big number. And you can't get away, or you couldn't get away with executing the purchase of the airplane in New Hampshire, which, as we know, is tax-free, and then moving it to Massachusetts, because they do this with automobiles too. You don't get away with that. You got to pay the fee. But anyway, over the course of time, Massachusetts waived sales tax for aircraft, and also for aircraft parts, because those of us that own airplanes know that sometimes parts get pretty expensive too. So then, now all of a sudden, in terms of aircraft registration, New Hampshire becomes the most expensive option by a long shot. So that's the background that led to House Bill 124. The text isn't up on the General Court website yet, but I've been informed that House Bill 124 has been revised. The original draft of that bill sought to take away all aircraft registration fees and a few other miscellaneous fees having to do with fines or liens for non-payment of registration, other ancillary things. I understand that the bill has been revised. Now it's very more focused. It gets rid of the so-called millage. So, if you have if you have a business jet that's under 10 years old, you pay the base rate of $48 plus 1 cent per pound based on the gross weight of the aircraft. And that's a much smaller number. So So that is the current state of the bill's text. So last Tuesday, and this has been discussed, and now this will be taken in as part of the meeting minutes, the Nashua Alderman passed this resolution. I think everybody has a copy of this. But these are good words. I understand Brian McCarthy was the author of this resolution. And the Alderman support reducing the mill rate on aircraft, in the aircraft registration fees. So this was unanimously passed a week ago. And so, personally, I want to thank the Alderman for doing that. So a lot of people have been asking questions about if we get rid of the millage, it's like, what's the impact? From discussions this afternoon, it sounds like, and correct me on the numbers if I'm wrong here, based on some discussions earlier today, if we get rid of the millage, the overall impact is under $1 million. It was like $750,000?
Something like that.
Yep.
It's approximately $750,000.
So by state statute, one quarter of the fees that are collected on things like aircraft registrations, on fuel flowage, those fees flow back to the airports. And that is an important thing. It is a chunk of money. So that means that 25% of that $750,000 won't be there for the airports. So there's questions about how do we make that up, and there are various ways we could replace those revenues. One example is that the flowage fees for fuel in this state are relatively low compared to our neighboring states. For instance, 100 low lead is taxed at 4 cents per gallon. Down in Massachusetts, it's, 24.6 cents per gallon. It's taxed at just slightly above automobile gasoline. Jet A is taxed at 2 cents per gallon in this state. Down in Massachusetts, it's 6.7 cents per gallon. So there's room to move there. What we want to do, I think, or at least what I've heard this afternoon, is move forward with HB 124 as a policy, and we learn more about how these bills get passed through the various branches of state government. The Transportation Committee, which will meet tomorrow, is going to discuss this bill. Aircraft have to do with transportation very obviously, so it goes to them first. They're mostly going to discuss policy. They could ask questions about money, but that is actually the bailiwick of another group of people. If HB 124 gets out of committee, and I think goes to the whole House, and then gets out of there, then it goes to Ways and Means, and the Ways and Means people get to discuss
the Ways and Means.
basically the money's involved. So anyway, anyone that wants to jump in and add to this.
I need to.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt your sentence, inviting us to do it.
Yeah.
I want to circle back for a moment, if I could, to what Joe was saying before about our meeting with Strategic Planning Committee and the city's input. We have Tim Cummings, who joined us just a few minutes ago. This is the Economic Development Director for the city. We are concerned. The city of Nashua is concerned about jobs. It's concerned about expanding tax base. We have a spending cap, for instance, and spending cap kind of becomes a tax cap implicitly because you're going to spend to raise taxes, although there are some subtle differences there. One of the best ways to start getting more money and to do things without raising people's taxes on the homes they already own is to increase the tax base. If we can spread and get new businesses in here, new people moving in, all that begins to raise the revenues for the city and give the city more flexibility. So growth in the city's economy is very important. We've seen some of the news recently came out of New Hampshire saying that our population is basically flat growth. The only reason we went up a little bit, Vermont went down in their population. The only reason we went up is because of international immigration. That's not even domestic immigration, more in than out, but international immigration, which a lot of times is resettlement, those kinds of things. We're very concerned about growing the city. This resolution that the Board of Aldermen passed is about that growth. Because the issue behind HB 124 is not just about airplanes. That's the thing. I think that the point that we made at the Board of Aldermen last week is not just about getting more airplanes, even though airplanes coming to the state, coming to Nashua, mean jobs. Each corporate jet has roughly, I'm told, four people associated with it. Two crew members, two mechanics. And there's a lot of fuel that's bought. Roughly half of the fuel that that jet will consume in the course of a year is going to be bought at the home base. The other half's bought on the road throughout the country, maybe throughout the world, but half of it's bought right here. Those numbers mean a lot to the airport, certainly. And the number of crew that are associated with it means something to the city and the tax base. Those folks buy homes and that kind of stuff like they were going to do in Portsmouth. But more important than that is that businesses that have the wherewithal to buy a new jet aren't going to be thinking about Nashua or New Hampshire, Portsmouth, Lebanon, Concord, anywhere. They're going to be thinking about Massachusetts or Vermont or somewhere else. We know what the ramp looks like. I know a lot of the impact is from Daniel Webster, but generally, we know even from looking at the NHDOT report about Boar Field that our trend is downward. Our trend is downward in terms of expected operations here at Nashua. Our trend is downward in terms of expected based aircraft. But if you go down to Hanscom, and I fly down there once. I used to fly out of there all the time. We've talked about Hanscom a lot. Hanscom has a lot of airplanes parked on the ramp. Business jets that can't even fit in the hangars. Anytime someone down there says, you know, I'm thinking about building a new hangar, what do you think? There's a line at the door, people plopping money on the table, I want to be in your hangar. Not little airplanes, big airplanes. They're parked outside. They don't want to leave those airplanes outside. I spoke to a corporate operator down there, and he says he thinks there are about 275 corporate aircraft based out of Nashua, out of Hanscom. 275 corporate aircraft. We don't have 275 here at this field, including the ones with flat tires. This means a lot. It means something, and Massachusetts was wise. They looked at what was happening competitively, and they said, you know what? Our sales tax is killing us. Let's get rid of it. So they get rid of it. And now we're the ones, as Farrell said, we're the ones who used to be the low-cost alternative, and now we're the high-cost alternative. So this bill and the session tomorrow, the policy session before the Transportation Committee, is about policy. What is New Hampshire's policy going to be vis-a-vis businesses that may happen to own jets? Do we want them or not? This registration fee issue is a barrier to entry, and companies aren't going to come here. If we took a look at some of the registration fee numbers, there's a gentleman who put together a table over time, and total registration fees could be $750, it could go up to 1.1, it might go up to 1.2, then they go down again. Well, why that fluctuation? The little airplanes, like my airplane, $48, it's not making that line move up and down from 1.1 to 1.2 million. It's the big airplanes, but it goes up 1 year, and then it's down the next. That airplane didn't just hit 10 years. That airplane, those owners probably got a bill. I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing with that line moving like that, they got a bill and they left. Those jets bring jobs, not just pilot jobs, but companies. And I think that's what we have to be looking at. Now, tomorrow's committee, it's going to be before it's the first hearing before the Transportation Committee. And again, they're policy related. If once we're done, they're going to vote, and then there's going to be, if they want to continue it, there's going to be a subcommittee to take a look at it. We'll get in more depth. Then if they make a recommendation back to the full Transportation Committee, the full Transportation Committee wants to pass it back to the House with a favorable recommendation, even if it's an unfavorable recommendation, it'll go back to the full House. The full House will decide, do we want to pursue this further or not? And if enough people in that full House think that we do, or that the state should remove these kinds of barriers to entry, then it will go to Ways and Means, as Farrell said, and we'll talk about the nuts and bolts of what it means for dollars and cents. But tomorrow, it's policy, and this statement out of the Board of Aldermen is really about policy. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but whereas Boar Field is a general aviation airport located in the city. The next paragraph, whereas State of New Hampshire has established a National Airport Authority for the purpose of furthering aviation. That's what we're talking about here, is furthering aviation for the general good of the public. Whereas the Board of Aldermen finds the operations of the airport provides substantial public good, in the form of revenue to the community, commerce, all those things we talked about, not just airplanes. Whereas the Board of Aldermen understands that a reasonable fee structure for aircraft registration is important. It has to be there. But the elimination of a barrier to entry is seen by the Board of Aldermen, I would say the mayor, as a very important goal, as we talked about in our strategic planning committee, to restore the Nashua competitiveness, New Hampshire's competitiveness, not just Nashua's. Frankly, if Green Mountain had gone to Portsmouth, I'd say, let's get some de-ice equipment. We got it in New Hampshire, but we don't. It's gone. And the idea here is that the Board of Aldermen, and I think many business leaders in the city, would like to see an expansion here. And the airport, which probably sailed along for many years, especially with Daniel Webster here and all the activity that we had, is, I think, sometimes viewed as an underperforming asset. Now, I'm very glad the city decided to extend us for a 99-year lease. That means there's no threat to the airport. We're not going away. But the city went to bat for us with that because I think they recognize that the need for transportation is key to any industry. Energy, transportation, these are the things that industry needs. But they also recognize that it's still an underperforming asset for reasons that are outside of our control, except that we can endorse something, which is what the Board of Aldermen did. The Board of Aldermen aren't going to decide HB 124, but they wanted to endorse it for the purpose of growing the economy here. So I just want to give you some background on that and my sense of what tomorrow is going to kind of be about. I recognize the need that Farrell raised too for talking through all the nitty-gritty details when the time comes, but we're not there yet.
Comment and a question. Last time I was down at Hanson, we went for a luncheon down there of some kind. And there's a building frenzy going on down there. You can't drive in there without some policeman routing you off, and the cranes are going like crazy. They're building like crazy. Can you comment about how we think the governor feels about this?
How we think our governor feels about this? Well, everything I've read in the paper, I don't know the governor. I sent him a little letter. He didn't write back.
A little busy right now.
He's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. What I've read is that he's pro-business. He's pro eliminating barriers to entry. He's pro New Hampshire competitiveness. He put a moratorium on any new rules. A lot of times, executive rules tend to stifle business a little bit. And he's saying, moratorium, nothing's happening at all. And if you got a rule you want to pass, you got to bring it to me and show me how this is going to help us, not just restrict business. So the sense that I get, again, from what I've read and from what I've heard, is that he is pro this kind of thing. I don't know that he's read my email to him, but I think that if he were to hear this argument, he'd be in favor. That's my personal guess.
If I may. The financial impact to our airport will be approximately about $50,000 from the registration fees, correct?
That's on our operating budget.
Right.
But there's also, we get funds from the state for the matching for capital projects.
So the $700,000 that's created by the registration fees, some of that obviously goes to the other airports that are not Nashua. And we are obviously in competition with Bedford, whereas they're not. So it is conceivable that they could argue that we will be benefiting from this change, whereas they will not. And they'll be losing dollars. So my question is, raising the fuel fee, will that replace the $700,000?
Can I offer a number?
Let's loop for the recording. New Hampshire airports pumped 14.5 million gallons of Jet A last year, or in 2015, sorry. So a very small increase if the legislature will consider that, and there are people who don't like taxes, but a very small increase in the state assessment on top of that would create a whole lot of income. And right now, as I've been stated, the taxes on jet fuel in this state versus Massachusetts is way out of whack.
So it is. My point is, it's doable. And hopefully the people who don't like taxes don't like the registration fee, which in effect is a tax. So
well,
we're trading one for the other.
If I could offer some history, 15 years ago, we had a number of airplanes on the ramps owned by Massachusetts residents. The rule was if your airplane was not in Massachusetts for a year after you purchased it, and this was true in Maine too, then you could move it back into the state and not pay the sales tax. And New Hampshire is a nice enough place to be that we had a bunch of airplanes here when the owners came here to avoid the tax, and they stayed. Some of them are still here. Massachusetts finally realized what they were not getting in terms of related revenues for fuel and whatnot. And so that's why they declared a permanent sales tax holiday. That's why Maine, I had an airplane in my hangar from a guy who lives up towards Portland, and it was delivered to my hangar in New Hampshire because it was a $240,000 purchase, and the state of Maine wanted a very large chunk of that. And to the point where they called Roy Rankin, the airport manager, to make sure that the airplane really was at Nashua. I had to write a letter. They were chasing this guy for about a year and a half, trying to figure out a way to get the sales tax out of him. Maine finally threw in the towel and abolished their sales tax. Connecticut has done the same thing. It's airplanes move, so people are willing to park their airplanes where the financial cost is less, even if they're just a recreational pilot. Some other numbers. I came up with 88 large corporate jets down at Hanscom. That's just at Hanscom. There are only 38 in all of New Hampshire. If you look at the FAA registrations, Gulfstreams, 33 in Mass, there are 3 in New Hampshire. Falcons, there are 12 in Mass, 1 in New Hampshire. Bombardiers, Global Expresses and whatnot, 74 in Mass, 3 in New Hampshire. And if you'd like to know the financial impact on an airplane owner, so a Falcon 900 list price is about $43.3 million. Gross takeoff weight is almost 46,000 pounds. So the New Hampshire fee for the weight is only $460, but the millage on year one is $260,000. And that can, the millage, the higher millage applies for the first 10 years. So after 10 years, Massachusetts would have charged $300 a year, or $3,000. So if that airplane was in New Hampshire, the owner would pay over $1 million more for those 10 years. So anyone who runs a business, those are easy numbers, as Green Mountain, demonstrated. Do I want to spend $3,000 or do I want to spend $1 million? That's easy. And they're beating on the door to get into Hanscom, which has shorter runways, and it has a curfew. There's a financial penalty for coming in after hours. And I've got actually numbers for 3 other airplanes and some other things. But those are the points that I would make to encourage a motion that supporting HB 124 is the official policy of the NAA.
So I'll give another anecdote then. Paul Taylor, who operates a jet out of Nashua and whose company bases the jet in Nashua, they have a hangar here. They would actually like to sell that hangar and move the jet to, down into Massachusetts, but they can't sell the hangar right now. They can't get their money's worth for it. So right now they choose to leave the jet in the hangar here, and they're taking a beating on the millage on that airplane. If they had an opportunity to turn the hangar over, their jet would be gone in a heartbeat. So, I'll offer that as well. Another a cautionary note that I would like to add, and I address this a little bit to Bob as well. Wes just alluded to the small number of jets that are under 10 years old and therefore paying millage. I think the numbers that you gathered from the registration data indicated that a very small number of aircraft in this state are under 10 years old, and they're paying approximately 88% of all the registration fees. So some of those aircraft, they're probably either going to go away or they're going to age out. Because, those airplanes aren't getting any newer. When they age out, they don't pay millage anymore. We lose those fees.
I'll just jump in there real quick because I was kind of crunching some numbers as well. We're all spreadsheet knacks as crazy here the last couple of weeks. The state of New Hampshire is an aviation museum. It really is. When you look at the profile of the aircraft in the state of New Hampshire, we're like 85% of the airplanes, through the numbers I looked at, pay virtually nothing because they're just so old. They're literally just so old. And New Hampshire draws a line of 40 years. And we've got a massive amount of aircraft that are greater than 40 years old. Now, I don't necessarily think that's because we have the premier grass strip barnstorming thing going on in the state of New Hampshire. It's emblematic of who has airplanes here. Nothing against all of us who like single-engine land, light aircraft. That's great, and they're awesome. I'll fly them every day and twice on Sunday, or three times, or whatever. But those are not doing anything for the city, the airport, the state, the community, anything, right? They're just not. And it's when you do, like Wes did with the comparative, just literally, we're on the, I like to call it the demilitarized zone of Massachusetts. We're right there, and just over that line, they're kicking our butt. All day, every day. Hands down. I mean, if you go to the Mass DOT website, they've got a nice, glossy economic impact study that it's like $6.1 billion of this and this much payroll and 39 general use airports. I mean, they're just cleaning up. It's Massachusetts, guys. I mean, we're not talking about Texas or California, right? So we can do better. I mean, we can do a lot better. And I think this is really one of these things where you get to the point where you say, are we serious about doing the business of moving forward and helping things thrive, not just survive and not just get by? This sends a very good message to say, yes, we're serious about those kinds of things.
So anyway, with that, does anybody have any more comments?
I do. Just quickly, I have a couple questions. And Attorney Bolton, maybe you can help me. I heard earlier tonight, I don't know if this is true or not, but everybody registers their plane federally, right?
Yes.
And in New Hampshire, they also have to register with the state. Is that legal? That's doable?
Yeah, that's not uncommon from what I understand.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that's part of the reason why surrounding states are abandoning that, because some people are getting a little fed up with that process. I did reach out to a couple of my corporate friends to find out, what they look for. And one guy is a Fortune 50 company, so he said that there aren't as many budget constraints on his company. However, he knows a lot of people, who that really, really does affect. So convenience to destination, all-weather access, de-icing stuff, trained ramp personnel, adequate parking, those are all things that he looks for. He said anything that can help to attract a jet, you check off those little checkpoints. If we lower that millage rate, that's one step closer to getting people here. I also spoke to another guy, and he said he actually had planes here. They were buying a new plane years ago, and the registration fee was going to be $60,000 for that. And even though his owner is a very wealthy man, $60,000 in a year was not something he was willing to spend. So away they went. They love New Hampshire. They live in New Hampshire. They would love to be in New Hampshire, but they do not register or park their planes here. I never realized that. I've known them a long time. I never realized that was one of the reasons they left. Right now, they keep their planes in Oregon, where they have a tax structure like we're shooting for.
They have to take a plane to get to their plane.
Yeah, but it's worth it,
apparently. Oh, it's in Oregon.
You know, it's certainly, certainly business-wise, it's silly not to understand all the lost revenue from chasing people away. So I am definitely in support of HB1.
By the way, just a real quick math on your 14 million gallons, that's 5.2 cents per gallon to get just 750 grand. Mm-hmm. So if you just charge everybody a nickel a gallon, that gets you. Without doing anything else, that's not obviously all the other businesses and all the other aircraft and everything else that would be generated by sort of removing those barriers to entry that we've talked about a few times tonight. So it's not a static model, of course. You open those doors, it becomes a much more dynamic, sort of exponential benefit. So.
All the control of it.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say, the reminder that, it's a lot more than just airplanes. I'm glad you mentioned that again. The other thing with regard to making up any lost revenues, that's a conversation for later. That's Ways and Means. The committee tomorrow is not really dealing with that. It's the policy. And what is the policy? And like I say, this Board of Aldermen resolution here just says the state legislature should make every effort to reduce that disparity between what we have to, what a New Hampshire-based aircraft would incur in registration fees or costs or fixed expenses, tax, whatever, vis-a-vis the other states. So is it the policy, is it our policy to try to be business favorable? Or is it our policy to try to get the dollars and cents? Again, that's the next committee. Thanks.
So at this point, would anyone like to make or try to make a motion keeping in mind that we don't have the actual language for HB 124 at this point?
I would, Mr. Chair. So I make a motion that the Nashua Airport Authority endorse the resolution of the Alderman in its current form.
I second that motion.
Discussion?
One just in that point about the language, the resolution actually does a really good job of talking about that. It's in the first page or the second page here. It says, at the last paragraph where it says, stay with the aircraft with the fee structure surrounding states such so let me start at the beginning. Now, try to cut it, but it didn't work. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Aldermen of the City of Nashua that the City of Nashua hereby endorses any effort by the state legislature to reduce the disparity in registration fees on new, less than 10-year-old aircraft with the fee structures of surrounding states, such as a redrafted version of HB 124, reducing the mill rate by repealing. So they've done a really good job of covering the, we get it, the details aren't all in yet, but it's the spirit of it, which I think we've talked about really well now, of being that pro-business, pro-growth model. So I just want to point that out in case anybody hadn't read that little part yet.
I do. Can I say something? Dave, do you think it's still important for people to draft letters, as Marty asked, to draft letters and make copies to present tomorrow, or do you think we pretty much have our bases covered?
I think that it's always good if you have something you want to say, say it. I recommend that to anybody. Don't think to oneself, gee, someone else is going to make that point, I'm not going to make it. If there's something you want to say, write a memo and say it. I think that there ought to be a statement from the NAA, and Farrell just made a motion to that effect. But if you want to write a personal letter, personal note, I'm probably going to submit something. I don't know that I'll read it. I don't know that I'll speak tomorrow. But I'll probably submit something in writing, so here's my thinking on this.
So Marty did ask that if you're in support of this bill, to write something short and sweet, make about 30 copies to hand out so that everybody can have one. And so if anyone's interested in doing that.
I'll let you finish your vote, but if you want a little feedback on what the meeting's going to be like with regard to those kinds of things, what the procedures are, I'd be glad to fill you up on that.
Do you have anything to add?
I just want to add that the Granite State Airport Management Association, every other year we have a legislative focus meeting, and this year we're having a panel discussion about this issue on February 17th. I'll be I've invited all the board members. To try to get legislators there, you have to offer a free lunch, so anybody's welcome to come, but I would ask that you RSVP if you're interested in coming, just so we have a head count. And the idea is, just like this discussion here, which I think is very lively, I think it's great, the idea is to get all of the facts out in the open so that legislators can make an informed decision. So that's the plan from Gassama's point of view. You know, from my own operational point of view, I'm concerned about the loss of revenue. You know, we talk about things that the airport needs, like de-icing, and taking away funding gets us farther from that, not closer to it. But, you know, I certainly see both sides of this issue. I mean, you know, and nobody wants more jets here than I do, than anybody at a New Hampshire airport. So it's a complicated issue. You know, I'm looking forward to more discussion on it, and we'll see how things go. If you're talking about, you know, 14 million gallons a year in Jet A is a substantial number. I would say that's 99% Manchester Boston Regional Airport. We're probably the second biggest Jet A pumper here in the state at 400,000 gallons a year.
Is there a tech stop?
That's true too. Yeah, the Jet A fuel tax structure in the state is split. So you know, there's a Part 121 fee of half a cent per gallon on Jet A, which is a big portion of that number. If you're talking about raising, it's a very low number, half a cent. But if you're talking about raising it, you're going to get a lot of pushback from our commercial service airports here in the state. I can almost guarantee it, because you know, they're looking at their airlines and they're concerned about them going to other states, which does happen. So, you know, Manchester Boston Regional Airport, according to DOT's latest study, contributes about $1 billion into the state economy. The total airport picture is about $1.1 billion. So, you know, they have a loud voice, and so be prepared for that kind of resistance. You're going to see that. So, you know, again, with airports, we have very little funding to go around, and of course, our concern is always when people talk about less funding, it makes it harder for us to get stuff done. So, that's our concern. But that's all I have to say about that.
Alderman Shulman.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that concern very much. I hate to see any small airport up north or anywhere, for that matter, closed. I don't care if they have one airplane or two airplanes there. I want to see them around. We're not the only state, of course, that has faced this kind of thing. Massachusetts was getting big tax dollars for some of those airplanes. They undoubtedly took a big revenue hit. Now, I don't know how they did it, but they did it with the idea that it's going to work out in the end. Maybe not overnight, but it'll work out in the end. A lot of corporate aircraft are parked outside down in Hanscom. There's no room for them all. They've gotten business. I don't necessarily want to see, you know, planes parked everywhere here. We want to have volume increase, but we don't want to become the Hanscom. But there is this business development benefit, and that's really what we're talking about here, a business development benefit that impacts the entire state, that maybe takes our population numbers and sort of lets them be flat, begins to get a growth. Instead of our population just aging, maybe it begins to get a little more youthful. All these things can happen, not just because of airplanes. It's just one piece of the puzzle. But I think it can be an important piece, and it's a somewhat underutilized piece in the state of New Hampshire because of this infrastructure.
All right. There's a motion on the floor that's been seconded. I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Sure. Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifele?
Yes.
Director Woods?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Unanimous. Thank you. Thank you all for your efforts to this point. I know it's one hurdle, but this is a marathon, not a sprint. Okay, any public input? Wanted to...
Let me just say one thing. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but in this past weekend, or either Sunday or Thursday, the union leader had an interesting article, which I think is a positive side of all of this. They interviewed some dealers in used jets, and they discovered that they were, the demand for them has gone up exponentially because at that level, the business people think they're going to see a lot of growth, and they want to get ahead of the power curve. There's nothing wrong with getting ahead of it rather than trying to chase it after it's gone by. And I believe that's the crux to this whole issue.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Ray Grenier.
Thank you. I want to acknowledge City Attorney Bolton for attending tonight. Thank you. Okay. We have dates to remember. We have a special hearing tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. As far as I know, as of this afternoon, the hearing is still on. If they were to cancel it, they would let us be on the website, but I think it's a go at this point. March 8th, we have the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce Business After Hours.
What are the nitty gritty for tomorrow? Who's speaking on behalf of the bill?
I defer to the committee. Was there a strategy on who's speaking to what tomorrow?
I'd be happy to answer that question. Not so much of a strategy, but I can tell you what the format's going to be. And I'm only learning it for myself. I've never been up there to do one of these before either. But you go into the committee hearing room, and you fill out a little piece of paper. And that's pretty much all the guests can. I don't know if you have to, but it just says what bill you're here for, if you want to do it. And you would check a box, I'm in favor or I'm not in favor. I'm willing to speak, or I'm interested in speaking, or I don't want to speak, yes or no. And then if you want to, you can attach a written letter or something you want to distribute. So then if you've said that you want to speak, when the committee chair opens up that portion of the meeting, he'll go to the House. The bill will be introduced by the sponsor, which is Ron LeBron. And at some stage, they'll start taking names out of that stack of papers of those who want to speak. And it'll be maybe one in favor, then the next one will be one against, then one in favor, and one in favor, one against. It's much like the aldermanic meetings, if you've ever been to those, but probably a larger format. The committee is about 25 people, from what I understand. And the advice that people always give is be brief. Yeah. And do what you want to do, but just as someone who sits through some of those things, you make your points better if you're brief. And again, this is policy that we're talking about tomorrow.
What time is it?
Portion of the meeting starts at 2:30.
Yes, Mary.
Can I ask a question? Can you watch this on live stream?
I do not know.
Nobody knows?
I'm not sure.
Yes, sir.
I haven't actually testified at one of these things. I think another thing that's important for anyone who's up there is to listen to the people before you, because I was up there for anti-hospital personnel violence legislation for violence against nurses and so on. People are saying the same thing over and over. They wrote their thing down at home. They're reading their thing they wrote down. The guy before them read exactly the same thing. You can see the legislators getting bored out of their minds. That's not what we want. Listen to what the guys before you said, and if you agree, summarize, endorse it, whatever, and move on. Don't bore them.
I plan to attend the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be up there tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Just if he didn't state his name.
Something?
No, I just wanted him to state his name.
Oh, okay.
If I made a row, I'm sorry.
Yes.
If someone from the NAA, a spokesman from the NAA, wanted to say, it doesn't need to be just one, it could be more than one, say that we know that Board of Aldermen endorsed this. Our position is to endorse this idea of fee reform, and we look forward to conversations and ways and means or something like that. So it'd be great to hear from them from the NAA. Not that it's the national issue, but.
So is everybody going?
Definitely not going.
Still Bobby,
yeah.
Though?
I'm not trying.
So should we just have one fairly want to speak, one person want to speak?
Well, can we agree that, will there be something, how are we going to know not to go? weather-wise.
Nobody's going to tell you. We're all going to call each other, but we're going to leave you out of the loop.
I've got a four-wheel Jeep. I'm not going to call you.
I think probably by noon tomorrow, I'm sure they're just going to do it. Yeah. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll call each other.
We show up and nobody's there.
If you don't hear anything, it's a go.
Okay. Good. Fair enough.
Okay. So who's going to draft the letter with our position?
Well, I think what we just need to do is present this resolution to the whole committee and saying that this board endorses this resolution in addition to the City Board of Aldermen endorsing the resolution.
I think you could have a cover letter that says that, too, on the NAA stationery, so that they can have that as a piece of paper. But, yeah, I think that's exactly right. Just one-sentence letter, National Airport Authority wants to let legislators know that we endorse our 7545.
Great. Then you have to read it in English and Latin.
Yeah.
Okay. The director's comments. Let's start with Secretary Scheifel.
Nothing. Thank you.
Joe? No comments, though? No? Okay.
I just want to thank people for spending a lot of time thinking about HB 124. Gathering data, number of folks here have gathered a lot of very good data on that. It's a good pro-business piece of legislation, so look forward to the committee meeting tomorrow. And that's all I got.
I'm just thrilled with the progress being made here. I'm really, really pleased, and I thank you all for pitching in. I also want to say that the higher numbers for people flying in, I think that's because of the Flying Gourmet Challenge.
Yes. Are the prizes increasing?
Yes, the prizes are increasing, although I haven't heard back from Infinity yet. I'm still waiting.
We just want to give them all, so we're waiting for the answer.
Pilots are cheap days.
Yeah. No, that's all I have.
Yeah. I think this was very helpful and healthy discussions, and we will certainly keep the public posted on progress. If we do need to have a special meeting for the airport workings, we will duly notify the public in advance. Otherwise, we have a date for our next meeting is the third Wednesday of February. Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I'll move to adjourn to non-public session to discuss personnel matters.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifel?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Director
Yes.
Secretary Carries. Thank you all.